Hi everyone, thanks for joining my presentation about testing and delivery of the base container images, or as I like to call it nowadays, welcome to automation hell, because automation is always nice as long as it works. Who am I? My name is Dan Čermák. I became the de facto release engineer of SleepBCI. Besides that, I also do things in Fedora, other open source projects, break my home automation system from time to time because I like to stand in my bathroom without any lights. And if after this you should be feel inclined to follow me on social media, you can do so. I might post stuff or not, probably a link to this talk. But first, let's go to the commercial section. And that's what is SleepBCI, in case you have never heard of that. That's short for SUSE Linux Enterprise Base Container Images. Very short name for essentially just a set of containers that are based on SUSE Linux Enterprise server. These are permissively licensed. It's all fully open source. They are free to use and distribute according to the EULA. Read it. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't comment whether how that exactly applies to you. They are available for the four big architectures, so for x86, 64, AR64, PowerPC, and S390X. And it's essentially comparable to Red Hat's UBI, so you have a you can get them just on registry.suse.com. And we have three flavors in total. So we have base images. There we have the creatively called base image. So the naming could have been from me, but actually this was not my invention. Then we have a micro image, a minimal image, a busy box image. That one's relatively tiny for not being based on Alpine. We have language stack images, which bundles, which include stuff like Go, Java, Python, .NET, Rust, and a bunch of others that I forgot about. And then we have also application containers like RMT, Postgres, the Docker registry, and you can find all that on registry.suse.com or also on the build service. Good. Commercial section end. Now we come to condense 2 years into 20 minutes. Let's start. So we are back in 2021, roughly, when this whole idea came about. And so people started building containers, and we threw them just onto the internal build service. And then we had, back then, I think we started with an OpenJDK and a Python container, and we already had the SleeBase image, and someone created a .NET container. And we just threw that in there. We did some QA, more or less. So we tested that the thing starts once. And that kind of worked, kind of, for a while. It all got, we integrated it into all the internal processes and got some of that pushed to the registry. But then, as usual with manual processes, people forget about them. Well, and then the .NET images got out of date. So the problem here was, because we didn't actually build .NET ourselves, we grabbed the .NET RPMs from Microsoft, because building .NET is hell, and we already have automation hell. Well, back then we didn't, but we had other hells. So we just grabbed the .NET RPMs, and no one updated them. So let's automate things. First thing that we did with this one was just a simple GitLab CI pipeline that ran on our internal GitLab instance. What it would do is just fetch the newest RPMs from packages.microsoft.com, render a Docker file, download everything, commit into the build service, and auto-submit. That's when people started hating me, because I started creating submit requests every second day and didn't supersede the old ones. So the review team wasn't happy about that. But again, automation hell, but it's solvable. So That was okay-ish, that worked. But then, as usual with projects, they start to grow. So we got more images. We got Node.js, we already had Java, we got Python, we got more .NET versions, we got more base images, we got application containers, and so on. So you get more and more and more images and more stuff to take care of manually, which is always not fun. Then we got another fun thing, and that's the second SLE service pack that you have to take care of parallel, because some images were based on the new service pack, some on the old service pack. Then we had to transition, which is, I could probably talk about transitioning the images for another hour, because then you get into fun stuff like how OBS actually parses versions of containers, which is surprising in a few places. We got more formal requirements, i.e. how should the labels be, and so on and so on. And shouldn't we be testing them? So the testing was initially very sketchy, so we tested them once, and then maybe a few times again, and then not really. So back then I got tasked with Jean-Philippe Evin to create tests for this. We wrote an initial BCI test suite that more or less still exists, but it evolved quite a lot. That thing, so I most of the credit here deserves JP. It was back then PyTest, test infra, and lots and lots of magic. So it was very obscure how things would actually run, but it was in one sense pretty fancy, because it would automatically run tests for a certain flavor of containers, check all the things, and you didn't have to declare everything yourself. But it ran just on GitHub, and it was not really in the SLE release process, which is a problem, because things break on GitHub and you get a notification and you, I'll do that later. And it doesn't block a release. So you might just as well not do it. But fortunately, things improved here. So we, roughly a year later, we split out the core of the testing library into pytest_container, so the creative name, that's my part, that's my big contribution to this. There's actually a few other projects that I bullied into using it, so if you want to test anything in containers or test containers, I think it's a great library, but I might be biased because I wrote it. And now we also started testing things in OpenQA on all the big on all four architectures, on all the platforms, and also in a few public clouds. So testing got better. I'm sorry, there should have been somewhere I'm missing this slide. So a few words about the testing itself. That's also what we are running nowadays. It's essentially a set of common tests that we run for every container. So basic things like, does it launch? Because occasionally you rely on the entry point being somewhere, then the underlying packaging changes, and your binary moves, and suddenly your container won't start because your entry point is somewhere else. Or for some reason you can't install packages in there anymore. Or one test that I'm not entirely happy about is the image size. We all like small images, but sometimes packages just grow, and then your test starts failing because your image is now 42 megabytes instead of 41. So what you're gonna do about it? If you have an idea, please tell me, because usually it's like, okay, increase the minimal limit. That's what we have done in 99% of the cases. And then we also have a bunch of tests for each image. So for most of the language stacks, we just grab a few popular repositories, try to build them, and see if that still works. Okay, we had that part. So how does the whole kerfuffle look like? So we had a cron job on GitLab. We have some that updates our .NET images. We push everything to the build service. That gets rebuilt, it gets tested, it gets shoved into the BCI release into the whole release pipeline, and then it gets pushed by QA to the SUSE registry. All fine, but shouldn't this thing be open source? So from the get-go, we said BCI is a set of open source container images. And currently, so you can see, okay, gitlab.suse.de. You can punch this into your browser, it won't resolve. This one won't resolve. This one also not, unless you're in the SUSE R&D VPN. So the open sourceness is more of a technicality. So, well, let's move the thing public. First step that we did was let's create a project on OBS, point all the automation that's in there in place to OBS, create a bot that just submits everything from OBS to IBS, and keep the rest. So in theory, you could contribute, and it's in a public place. And so that was a first step. But are we there yet? The templates are public on OBS, but it's not really all the automation that creates things. So for instance, the .NET updater, and I must apologize, I have lost somewhere another slide. So let's backtrack just a second. So another thing that we also threw into the mix is a Docker file or a Kivy template generator. Because we got, at some point, so many images and quite a few requirements how they should look like, how they should be built, it grew out of, it became very inconvenient to apply all of that manually. So we just created a short Python script that would use a bunch of Jinja and render out Docker files and then eventually also Kivy templates. That, again, because I named it, was creatively called the BCI Docker file generator. And that one was to be applied manually, which, as I've already told, applying things manually is usually you forget, and then things get out of sync. And that was one of the problems. So sometimes the templates wouldn't get applied, and then we realized, oh look, this image is still using the old templates and not the new ones. It only gets applied from time to time. You have to do it manually, so you forget. So it should be automated, and you could still do manual changes, which sometimes happened because people wouldn't read the documentation or just would commit directly and break things, and then you would apply the templates and overwrite the changes, and they'd get mad, and you'd get mad, and all kinds of problems would pop up. The .NET images were also created completely separately. But then the new OBS SCM sync feature came to the rescue. So in case you haven't heard of that, you can now pull in packages or whole projects on OBS directly from Git. And so we thought, well, that sounds like a convenient thing. So how about we just move all the sources to GitHub and make this Dockerfile generator the single source of truth? So it would generate the Docker files, it would hold the sources that would get linked to OBS, and we have everything in Git, and then the build service is just doing the building part and not also the source control. So that's exactly what we did. We have a main branch that contains all the code for the template generation for every single image that we have. And then we have what I call creatively deployment branches, where we just rent out the template that's in there and also write in the fancy .changes files, which you all like. So how this looks like, let's say you want to fix a bug or you want to change anything in the images, so you just go to GitHub, you create a new branch, you create a pull request, and then a bot will render out all the templates into new branches for each service pack and for Tumbleweed. It will give them a random name. Wrong key, sorry. And it will automatically create test projects on the build service to just check, do all these images still build? And then it will just report back once all the builds have finished, provided that they finished in 6 hours, because that's the maximum time that that GitHub Actions can run. And in case S390 is once again blocked, that can take 12 hours. And then the job fails. So that's one of the downsides, among many others. And then finally, the bot will just comment and tell you, yeah, you got a staging project with a link in this branch, that's the commit, and hopefully the build succeeded. Most of the time that actually happens. And then once you have merged your pull request, essentially the same thing, or something like the same thing, happens again. So we then dump out the templates into an actual branch that should then be merged into the branches that contain the sources. Then we use the OBS SCMCI integration, which is something different than the SCM sync. That's essentially the new OBS feature to just use it for build to test packages directly from Git. That does all the project creation for us. We get a report back. If that's merged, then we just trigger service runs on OBS in Devil BCI. That's where all our templates are, and so they get deployed. So are we there now? This is now the whole setup, how it looks like, and that's more or less how it looks like currently. So we have GitHub, where all of this magic that I just described happens. We have our sources that are directly linked via SCM sync, and that happens there in the subprojects of Devil BCI. Then we auto submit all of that to our internal build service, where we have two or three test projects for QA. QA tests all of that using BCI tests on openqa.suse.org, and that then gets released to registry.suse.com. So as usual, there's always things left to do. First and foremost, ensure that the automation actually doesn't break, which is harder to do than I initially thought. But at least one thing that I'd really, really like to do is if you change the templates, currently we just try to build things. But just because things are building doesn't mean they're working. So it would be nice, we have already this test suite. It would be nice to also to actually run it on pull requests. Because if we go back to this picture, when do you notice that things are broken? Here. When do you want things to notice when they're broken? When you're here. So it would be nice to add another arrow into this, which adds, of course, another possibility for a lot more breakage. We also have Tumbleweed BCIs. I guess you all didn't notice, because we didn't make a lot of noise about them, and we also, they deserve much more love than they actually got. And one of the problems is also that the test suite doesn't support them. So their state is, I don't know, I haven't tried them a lot. and I haven't tested them a lot, which is a shame, but there's only so much time that you have. So it would be nice to also add support for that. Maybe build BCI on ELP. Depends on how ELP will actually turn out. And with that, I won't try to read out every single name on this list, but that's hopefully everyone that was sort of kind of involved in this whole project and deserves thanks. And I don't want to butcher every name on this list. So thanks to all the people that contributed to this project, to the QE team, to the engineering team, and to many, many more. In case you want to actually look at the source, but please do so after the conference, because I don't want to get things thrown at me for the code quality. You can find the Dockerfile generator here under SUSE/Dockerfile generator, the test suite. This is the testing library PyTest container. If you want to see a short demo or presentation of it, that's also on GitHub. The OBS projects are Devil BCI, and you can find this presentation also directly on GitHub. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and if there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
I will have in the afternoon the presentation about using MicroOS desktop, among other things, so that's advertising. But one thing I have noticed is that if we want to have container-based operating system, or if it should be foundation of everything eventually, it's horribly difficult to find containers which you want to use. You go to the Docker Hub and you have lovely 100,000 containers with most of them with similar names. You can go to registry opensuse.org. It's slightly better. It's not 100,000, but it's not less confusing. And so on. I think I'm ranting, and it's not about testing of BCI images, but I think one thing which we really need to somehow improve is some kind of user interface, how to discover the container which you need to have like a set of well-documented, well-maintained containers, which I hope the BCI containers are supposed to be, but I'm not actually sure whether.
Well, they are based on SLES, so I mean, you contribute to SLES yourself, so you should know how well maintained SLES is, which I would say yes. So it definitely, so they are well maintained, but discoverability, go to registry.suse.com. It has a web interface. You can find things there. I mean, we don't have a ton of container images there because just we are not that many people at SUSE, that so we can't compete with Docker Hub. But yeah, I mean, you can always improve discoverability. You can also always improve documentation. But I only got two hands and 24 hours in the day, so.
Yeah, I kind of just want to answer your question to some extent. I think in most cases, containers are not meant to be used like that. You download a single container. Usually, you need a set of containers, and then when you go all in and have Kubernetes running, for example, you can really pick an application from the Rancher App Store, and there's an easy way of finding the good ones and you know, parameterize stuff very easily. I think that's how ultimately, if you are all in with using containers for your infrastructure, things should look like. And it's probably the wrong way to say, okay, I want to run just Nginx, so I look for the best Nginx container. and pick it directly from a registry.
So I have a question based on that one slide that you had that was somewhat filled out of you getting people to use your project. What are the other things that are using the stuff that you made, the PyTest container and things like that? You had a chart with distributions and whatever.
Wait, this one?
Yes. Who's doing it? What are they doing? Tell me.
This is just the test matrix. So this is really just where we so this is the architectures where we run our tests, and these are the distributions where we run it. So
you mentioned though you got other people to adopt your PyTest container thing. So who are they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean PyTest container?
Yeah.
So we got Kiwi. Then the OBS SCM bridge is using it. The node modules, bundlings, OBS service is using it. Mm-hmm. The OBS service replace using package version is using it.
What?
I didn't. Also, you might think that I invented that name. I actually didn't. No, that service is also using PyTest container, and I think I bullied another service into using it as well, but I forgot.
Oh, okay. Neat.
Okay, then thanks a lot for attending, and have a nice rest of the conference.